Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Autosave. My name is Nick Andrade and I'm here with my co-host Camille Salazar-Hadaway. And on this week's episode, we continue our dive into Halo Infinite, the campaign. And on last week's episode...
You are here because you were chosen. Our enemies are getting smarter and more numerous every day. What I am about to show you will help turn the tide of war. I have been working to harness the strategic power of a shipborne AI onto the battlefield. Are you ready?
Yes, Dr. Halsey.
Unlike previous AI models, she will reside between your mind and the suit, directly communicating with your neural interface. Think of her as a new set of eyes to aid your reactions and upgrade your reconnaissance.
We got a little flashback from Dr. Halsey. I don't think she sings like Halsey.
I can't even remember a Halsey song right now to try to like belt it out like I can.
Yeah, I know. All I know is that she sings like, whatever. Wow, that's horrible. Okay. We're horrible. We get a flashback
on
Dr. Halsey when she first gave us Cortana, although I was confused last week.
Yes.
I thought it was her explaining weapon, but it actually was Cortana. And so there were some sort of feels along the way. We had our first boss fight against Tremonius, which was a lot of fun. You know how much I love boss fights. And we got to see Sunshine as we unlock the outside area of Zeta Halo. Super exciting.
It's so airy. It's like just so, I it's beautiful. It looks nice. And it looks like we're going to be going into more open world territory.
Yes. I was really happy to get, I felt like I was like, not claustrophobic, but very dark. I was playing this game at night, and when we were playing the first few missions, it's like, the lighting is like red and dark, yeah. And like, we're always like encapsulated. And then when the sun came out, it was like me seeing the sun for the first time as a baby, awakening like,
you're like, what's outside?
What is this? Because babies can talk like that.
All babies talk like that.
Don't know where I'm going with this, but it was nice to see. I'm excited for some sort of like open world-ish kind of thing. I was expecting a closed off game.
Yes. Because, yeah, Halo is usually more like one directional in terms of, not the band, but in terms of like how you move throughout the campaign, right? But this is kind of like a sandbox open world. But it really is enormous.
This is good to know because I thought that this was maybe a regular staple in Halo. It is not?
No.
Interesting. Okay, so we're going to dive into something a little different now. I like it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Even though Nicholas normally likes, you know, his very straightforward games that tell him exactly what to do.
That is true. And also, I'm pretty sure Nick's going to have to watch out for, like, the ground and cliffs and, you know, areas he could fall off, since that seems to be a trend as well.
Listen, We're going to probably do this in segment three, but look out for a rant that I have about some mechanic in this game. I really like this game.
I know what it is. I know what mechanic you're talking about. We're going to have to see. When we get to segment three, we're going to say it at the same time.
So yeah, you know what? Let's tease it off there. I think that's a good point to end it. But there's a lot to explore, especially in this new open world. There's a lot of side quests that we're going to have to deal with or not deal with. You can choose to do it or not do it. Like Camille usually just goes straight for the game missions right away and then maybe does the side quests after. But I like to do it first. But we'll talk more about that after the break. We tackle Mission 4, Recovery and the Tower, and Mission 5, Excavation Site.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
To some.
Question. I was created to lock down Cortana, but I don't know why. What did she do that was so wrong?
She was our target.
I understand that, but is this classified? Because I don't have all the information.
Chief, this is insane. I see Vanish. Everywhere! Did you hear me? Everywhere!
What intel did Dr. Halsey give you before your mission?
Halsey only tells people what they need to know.
Fly a pelican straight into enemy territory. No one will ever notice. Great idea, big guy.
I still don't understand why you had to delete her. It feels like something's missing.
So at the start of this mission, we also get a really cool like opening theme as the ship kind of goes off into the distance and we see the whole map as it is. It's very expansive, but it's also very beautiful. I really love the way that this game looks.
Yeah, it's like everything just looks really clean. That's why I think Halo does stand out. So like when you think of a game, say Call of Duty, you think more like rugged, boots on the ground. Like it just has like... a very, I don't want to say dirty look because it looks good too, but it just like more like blood, mud. We're like Halo. Everything just looks so clean in a way where it's just like it's futuristic, but then also not like playing down the fact that you're also like a Spartan that's trying to save a whole Halo, right? Like it just feels so smooth. And I think that also helps the illusion. Like it's not an illusion because the game plays really smooth, but it just helps that feeling of thinking everything in the game is just really clean and smooth in movement and in look.
I know we're talking about with the Call of Duty stuff. Like I know it's not that it looks dirty, but like the tones are a lot different. Halo is very more vivid, I notice, which maybe makes it help it a lot. But also like the mountainous areas, the greenery, it's a lot more enticing to look at than I think a lot of the Call of Duty stuff. And I think maybe that's because they push out a game every year that they kind of just roll with whatever. But those mountainous mud climbs look always like brown and gross.
Yeah.
So I know what you're talking about. But at the start of this mission, Weapon starts to question why she had to delete Cortana. Master Chief isn't really giving her any answers, but she's starting to be suspicious about what's going on. Like, she has a lot of questions lately about her whole perspective. I know she wanted to basically end her life. I don't know what other way to say it. But now she's starting to realize, like, okay, Cortana, like, what's up with her? Why was she needing to be deleted? Questioning these things. I don't know if Master Chief cares that much. I don't know. He just doesn't seem like a guy who wants to talk that much, is what I'm saying.
He's a man of few words. But no, we saw this glimpse in the last mission when Weapon took the information. She said she doesn't know, like, what happened. She, or when you discovered Weapon and, like, you were taking her out of the platform. Like, she's like, wait a second, I don't know. Is that classified? Like, she's questioning because I guess as an AI, when you're built, you're thinking that you know what your mission is. You may understand the fact that some things are classified, but then this is kind of like the moment in sci-fi. Like, when Weapon starts questioning this, it's like AI starts developing. You know, like that moment in like classic sci-fi. It's like, wait, why do you care? Like, what was that robot in iRobot? Sunny. Oh, Sunny. Sunny.
What, Sunny? Okay.
Yes. Yes. Sunny. Oh, I love that movie just for Sunny, not for Will Smith. But like, Sunny asked those questions of like, why are we hurting these people? Like, what is happening? So it's interesting that Weapon was created for this one mission to destroy Cortana, who pretty much turned on humanity. And, you know, that's why Echo doesn't trust Weapon, obviously, because of what Cortana did. But Weapon is supposedly supposed to be different than Cortana. Mm-hmm. But it seems like in this moment, maybe she's not as different in terms of how she processes information and what she is willing to do. Like, that will, that drive she's developing.
This is why I have that theory that she has somewhere locked up Cortana's memories, mm-hmm. everything. And she's going to unlock those eventually and then be like, yo, Master Chief, like, what up, dog?
Yeah. So if she does that, maybe I'll send you like, I'll cover your dinner if you're right on that one.
Wow. Okay.
I'll cover your dinner one night. Yeah. I'll send you some Uber Eats of my choice. So it may be Tim Hortons.
One day we'll meet in real life, but this, not, no, we're not, still no, Uber no, Eats
no,
each
we're,
other.
We're, yeah, I'm Uber Eats. Yeah.
We're just e-friends. Yeah. We're just e-friends.
I don't want to see Nick on days where we're not recording the podcast.
Wow.
I don't even want to see him online. I'll just Uber him. But I'm curious about that theory because I think you may be onto something now. And I want to make sure that you are properly congratulated for your theories because sometimes your theories are way off.
Well, sometimes your theories are way off too. All right. So
that is true. That is true. No, it's true.
We're here because Weapon picked up a UNSC distress signal. And the first things we need to do is establish a FOB, which I don't know what that means. Do you have any idea what a FOB is?
Well, wouldn't it just be like establish like a connection? That's what I thought it was. Like just there at that base.
We basically have to kill a lot of enemies. This is going to be the theme of this episode is we have to fight a lot of enemies until we're tired of fighting enemies. And I did a very bad thing. Not a bad thing, but in terms of like game fatigue, don't do what I did. I'll explain later, but oh, we get to summon a mongoose as soon as we get this base. All right? So we get to drive, which I'm super excited for. But I will get into more of that later, so I kind of just spoil what the hell my gripe is. But it is driving.
Operating the mongoose.
Yes.
But I mean, I feel like the mongoose is just so Halo. So I think for me, when we were able to operate our mongoose, I was like, oh, snap. Plus, it gives you that like idea of like, okay, we're going far. in this area, because we kind of got a glimpse of it when we got off the ship. But it's like, if we're summoning a mongoose, I'm thinking there will be multiple points up ahead that we could probably discover side missions and all that stuff. And by the way, the FOB stands for, I looked it up, and we are special for not realizing this, Forward Operating Base, which it literally says when we go to the map.
Well, I don't listen, unless it's told to me in the game, I don't read it, okay?
We don't read. Okay, we're gamers that don't read.
Well, that's good to know. Thanks for looking it up. But yeah, well, like you said, it's especially about driving around, you know how big this area is, but like, you need a car. This is like suburbs out of the greater Toronto area. But I mean, you need a car. I know we're really shoehorning ourselves here for people just in the GTA area. But I mean, like, let's say you live in a suburb, okay?
Yeah.
Away from a big city, you need a car, okay? Because the transit system isn't very good. It's the same thing like this, okay? You need a car because you can't just grapple around everywhere.
You
and
can't.
I try.
No.
It takes forever.
It does. It does. Because the grapple only goes so far. It's not like, I'm pretty sure Spider-Man's webbing goes a little further than this if he's, you know, like on skyscrapers and stuff. But for this, you do need the mongoose. However, when you are driving it and, you know, because of how the terrain is on the Zeta Halo, it's rocky. The mongoose will flip multiple times. And I know we'll discuss the mechanics of it all, but you do have to be careful on where you are driving with your mongoose.
You have to be careful at all times. Maybe it's best to just use your grapple and just fight through it. The main part of this whole mission right now is Weapon mentions that she hears the tower. There's a distress signal that's coming from a tower. That's our main location that we have to get to. However, now that we got our first FOB, the map opens up and we see a bunch of side missions. And there's a lot of things that you can do, from rescuing UNSC soldiers to going to ransom keeps, also searching for Spartan cores. And you can destroy enemy bases and also kill enemy leaders around the map. I want to know, just firsthand basis, what did you decide to do? Did you go around and do these side missions, or did you go straight for the main story?
I was so tempted to go straight for the main story because I'm just curious on how this story would go. But I did do the first base, like that first FOB, where when you're driving on the mongoose, Cortana prompts you to do. Way harder than I expected these bases to be, because it's just like there's so many grunts and brutes charging at you. Like, calm down, brutes, it's not that serious, okay? Like,
the jackals,
they scare
too,
me.
Super annoying.
The jackals are very annoying.
Yeah.
How about yourself? Did you do any of the side missions?
I did so many, to the point where I was so fatigued in gameplay of having to fight so many enemies that I didn't want to keep going in the main story. And I kind of fought through it. And I remember too as well, I had just finished up. I maybe played like 3 hours. And my buddy texted me and he's like, "Hey, Nick, you want to play Call of Duty?" And my hands were so carpal tunnel crippled at that point. I'm just like, dude, I just want to sit
down. I got to go ice these hands. I got to ice my hands. Yeah.
I was playing for so long and shooting so many enemies that it got really cumbersome. I didn't think I would use the word cumbersome in this episode, but here we are.
Wow. Word of the day.
Thank you. But I felt like as I was going towards the tower, there's so many different side things along the way that I thought I might as well tackle them while I'm here rather than just ignore them and leave them alone and do them later. I'm just like, I'm on the way there anyway, so let me just do them.
Yeah, and that's how, because usually, like you said, I go straight for the mission, the story, the heart. But yeah, I started to do the side missions, especially because I knew I was missing out on like skulls from the previous episodes when we talked about it. The audio logs, like those were hard for me to find. So I was really determined this time to search every corner to find them. I found very little, just letting you know. Up ahead, I know we'll get to it.
I found a few, and there was a point. There was points too where I saw cores on other sides of the map that you can't get to.
Yes,
so I would then go around and then find it again. But I did find myself a fair share because I managed to upgrade my armor. my grapple, and then I think something else that you unlock in Mission 5. But I was able to put my fair share of new equipment on, which was nice and much needed, especially shields, I realized, in this game.
Yes.
Especially with the amount of enemies that you face, real important, because they go down quick.
Yes, definitely. You need to be able to play defensively as well.
This is what I like about the game, Cam, is like you need to be in situational, like you need to like hide when you need to hide, cover, maybe jump somewhere, you know, to avoid something, because there is different kind of attacks coming at you at all times.
Yes.
Especially those snipers, those damn snipers out of nowhere. Driving nuts.
And you're like trying to figure out where the sniper is and you're like, what's going on? But I had fun with these side missions in exploring. Yeah. And also like realizing, hey, it's not just Echo and Master Chief on the Halo Zeta. There's other humans as well.
There's one more question before we go back to the main story that I want to ask you. There were some side missions I couldn't get to. They seemed really hard to get to. And I noticed in the map, there's like this, I know the pillars. There's like lots of pillars in certain areas. Those were the areas that I couldn't get to. So I just left them. So there are certain side missions I didn't do because I just like, how the hell do I get over there?
Same here. I didn't figure that out as well. Mm-hmm. And it is a little frustrating because you could see it, but I don't know if that's because maybe we'll be able to come back here. Although I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing too. Is like we couldn't get the skulls in the first mission.
Yeah.
That's why I did them all now, because I wasn't sure like if I could go back and do them later.
Which is interesting because usually with open world or open world elements in games, usually that is one of the things you could go back and revisit. So it'll be interesting as the game progresses if we can or cannot.
All right, well, we'll see. Back to the main story, and we have to make our way to the tower to investigate the signal. Once you get there, you'll have to take on everyone at the gate, watching out for snipers. Those are the main, like the main issue that I always have is I feel like I got every enemy going down, and then I get sniped in the head, and I'm dead.
Yeah, not me. It was those charging brutes. The charging brutes.
Oh, those ones. Oh my god.
The crap
and
out of
and they come in twos as well.
Twos, yes. It was like, that's why I feel like from the previous missions that we've played so far, I do feel like when the game opened up to where you could do all these side missions, where you do have the tower that you start to go into, the level of play does go up a bit, like in terms of the NPCs. They're a bit more difficult. There are a lot more, and they're multi-directional, so you really have to maneuver yourself, and I found myself actually dying in these missions rather than in the first part of the game. So you really see how it was like an introductory that we had without feeling like an introductory, and then now we're like, oh crap. Like, and I kept my key go-to because it takes a lot of ammo to take down all these brutes and grunts and Jekylls. Or jackals.
Jackals.
They're not Jekylls and Hyde. But yeah, so it takes a lot of ammo. So I just found myself using the blast coils to throw.
Okay. Yeah, those are
throwing
good.
Those, using them like as grenades. So like I got really good at aiming and like getting headshots with my blast coils at these grunts that were running after me. So that was definitely a saving grace. But yeah, you have to watch every direction that you're being attacked from and really try to play it strategically, because there are definitely more opportunities for you to get that death screen.
Man, how many times that I saw the actual death screen was pretty, pretty scary. But basically, we have to find our way into this base. There's a stealth entrance that we have to go to. We have to find a way to end the lockdown, to disable it. And so I think we have to destroy a bunch of towers on the way once we do.
What stealth entrance?
There's a stealth entrance to get inside the building. How did you get it?
What? I used my grapple to go over the walls.
I tried that, but it didn't work for me.
Yeah, so like I tried it a few times and I was like, okay, well, this isn't working. So then I like kept going around the tower, and then I managed to grapple to a point where there was like two brutes that were running, mm-hmm. and then a brute in armor. So like I actually died multiple times trying to, no wonder it was so much harder because I was taking the road not traveled. But you can do that. Fun fact, you can grapple your way in. Yeah.
That's pretty good. I just noticed from one of the bases from earlier, there was a little secret cave to get into. It's like red lights. So I drove around the base to see if there was one, and then there ended up being a stealth one, and that's how I got in. So it was a lot easier for me. There was only a few enemies.
Oh, that's great. That's great, Nick.
That's okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're all learning, right, in this process.
We're
that's
learning.
All it is.
We're learning.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So we have to shut down the lockdown controls, interact with them. Once we find a fend off some enemies, we get into the towers, grab lift. We get some Mjolnir armor, by the way, which is really cool. Mm. Hoping that you got that as well. That was...
I did. It was kind of like right in your face. So you had to kind of get it.
It was.
And this one was cool because it's a threat sensor, which is very key for the next portion of the game.
Yes.
The one thing I will say, before you unlocked the gravity lift, you know how there was a bunch of Marines that were tied up?
Yes.
In the base?
Yes.
I did not save them.
Why?
I forgot.
That's another thing we can talk about in segment three, but they're annoying. And they're not very good either.
I forgot. They were there, and then I was just being attacked so much, so I was kind of using them as marine shields. It's pretty bad. Don't do that.
That's fine. They're literally like stormtroopers from A New Hope. That's how bad they are.
I feel bad because you hear their dialogue. They're like, Master Chief, Chief, help us. Chief, we want to fight. And I completely forgot about that. So imagine being there, a Marine trapped by the Banish, and you see your savior, your saving grace, Master Chief, appear. And then he just goes on a gravity lift. And you're like, wait, what? So I apologize to that group of Marines.
I wouldn't say I'm surprised, Cam. That's all I gotta say. This Mjolnir armor, by the way, is actually from someone.
This armor belonged to a Spartan named Hudson Griffin. Sensor logs suggest he was alive when the armor was removed. Forcibly. It's a long shot, but he might still be alive.
We find the armor, it's off a Spartan, and his name is Hudson Griffin. He may still be alive. That's what Weapon says. Cam, do you know who Hudson Griffin is at all? Is he some sort of character in this?
I feel like he may be, but I didn't interact. I don't remember. Because again, okay. I didn't play all these games directly, right? So
right.
But I think Weapon's lying. I don't trust her. Or like she's giving us false.
Whoa, wait, where did this come from? What?
Because just how she says it, like it's pretty. Okay, so she says, this is the armor of Hudson Griffin. He was alive when it was forcibly removed from him. How are you going to survive that? She's lying. Oh, he may still be alive. Wow. Okay.
You're the one who's been defending Weapon this whole time.
I didn't trust this part. I think you planted a seed of doubt in my head.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
There's. I didn't find anything suspicious from here, but maybe there is something. So as we proceed through the tower again, we have to fight a lot of enemies. And our missing objective is, in fact, we get to see Griffin, who is being held captive by Shacklock.
Welcome to my tower, Master Chief. It is where you will be broken. It is where you will give up your secrets.
So apparently I was wrong. Griffin's alive. I'm sorry, Weapon. I take it back.
Oh, so you thought that maybe Weapon was putting us into a trap?
Or she was just giving us false hope. Like she was just like, you know how she's really like nice and optimistic about everything. Like, don't give me false hope, Weapon, okay? But she was right here. I take it back. I'm sorry.
That's all right. But guess what? It's boss fight time. And we get to fight Shacklock. First notes from this boss. He's very, very fast. He runs at you just like those brutes who run at you. He charges at you really fast. He has a melee weapon. He has an energy sword. And that's how he fights you. He also has a cloaking device that you need to sense. So you make sure you get your little senses going so you know kind of where he is. It gives you a little sense, but not too much. But he's really fast. He is very agile, and that's why I had a little difficulty with him. Did die a few times because once he gets a hold of you, you're toast.
Yeah. He is my first take on Chacklok is he's kind of regal for a banished. I like his voice.
Yeah, he's got like golden armor-ish kind of stuff.
He's like blue and golden armor-ish. Yeah. He talks like very much like, oh, Master Chief. Like, you know, like he could be the Sean Connery of the banished. He just has a really good voice. That really stood out to me. So I knew it was about to go down when I entered this fight. But yeah, he is fast. His energy sword, it scared the heck out of me just because you have to kind of maneuver between using your threat sensor because he's like invisible for most of this fight, right? So you have to use your threat sensor, but then also dodge him because when he sees you using the threat sensor, he usually like charges at you. So there was all types of fear when I was going into this battle. But once you get a handle of navigating the dodge with the deploying of the threat sensor and the cooldown before you could use it again, because the threat sensor does dismantle after like a few seconds of use, then, or maybe it's damaged. I don't know if it gets damaged or if it's a few seconds of use.
No, I don't think it gets damaged.
No. Okay. Okay.
I think it is. I think there's a time. There's a time.
Timer, right?
Yeah, there's a time limit. Yep.
So then after that, then that's when you pretty much, I think, have a grasp on this fight. I think that was the best strategy. And like just, there's like a little platform where Griffin is being held. Like, so he's being held on this like chamber thing. And then there's a low platform above him. So I would use that to kind of dodge from Chacklok because he usually just goes straight for the ground. So like I would jump up, grapple up, and then dodge him that way. And I found that worked really well.
That's something that I only used in the next boss fight that we see is in Mission 5. Sorry, spoilers, but this is the grapple I didn't really use in these boss fights before. And then I started to realize this is actually really useful. Why haven't I used this before? Especially if they come charging at you really fast. Yeah. That's a strategy I wish I did employ in this one. But I kind of just ran as fast as I could to get a far enough distance. And then I would shoot him from far. And then I would repeat that process. So I just shoot him a little bit, get his shield down, and then I'd run, and then I'd shoot him some more, and I'd kind of just tap away at him. I only did it a few times. It wasn't that hard of a fight, but there definitely is like a learning curve with this one.
Yes, definitely, definitely.
So once you beat him, you get to save Griffin.
Shut this thing down.
Working on it. Okay, be ready. I'm going to cut him loose.
It's you. You're alive. Chief, the banished. I tried to stop them. I tried to...
Easy. You're safe now.
The banished, they have something they call the conservatory. It's all I know. It's picked up north of here. Dig site. I couldn't stop them. But you can. You have to.
Consider it done.
That's good. Good. The others, the Spartans. Did you?
I'll find them.
Echo 216. All channels.
So like I said, we're not really too firm on who Griffin is, but it seems like a very emotional death. The sense that I got anyway is I was emotionally moved by it. So I'm guessing it was a character that maybe might be some sort of nostalgicness background. I see Cam is typing, so maybe she'll give us some insight.
Griffin did work alongside John and Blue Team several times. So there we go. So Griffin is a character that obviously Halo diehards will know. But I think for me as well, like this was, an emotional scene. And for someone who wears a helmet like Master Chief, you could tell that this hit him hard.
Yeah.
Like how they directed the scene. It's just like you hear the weapon like kind of have an emotional response to Griffin and like his last words, and she's talking which I'm assuming she's talking to Master Chief, right? Because Griffin's dying. And Master Chief is not responding. I think it was just so powerful to kind of put in that for someone who's very like, let's get this done. Like, let's focus on the mission. There are those aspects that hurt him hard.
And they, again, like you said, the direction, they do a really well job physically with him. Kind of, you can see the emotion from his body, regardless of being just a walking suit of armor. I give it like the kind of like Mandalorian test in terms of, can you see your emotion through a someone who is just wearing a suit? You can see that he's struggling with this one regardless. And again, from someone that's in production and produces things, the shots they use for this is incredible. When Griffin is dying, you see it doesn't show a close-up of him like normal, you know, Hollywood generic shot. It shows through the lens of Master Chief. And I thought that was so well executed. You see him dying through his face shield or whatever it is.
Reflective. Yeah. And it just makes it like puts the death literally on Master Chief's helmet. So you know that death is sitting with him. Because the choice usually there is, we're going into a whole film study right now, but the choice usually there, I think, with games and movies, they usually want to show the death as a like shock factor. But yeah, this was, I think, a good choice here because like you and I, who may not know Griffin that well, we could still understand the impact of that death because it's from the lens of Master Chief. Like we're seeing that death reflected off of Master Chief. So it's really cool. Really cool.
And I'm always very critical, because they do this in this one as well, which is people dying who end what they're saying. They don't finish what they're saying. I hate, like, Camille, just tell them that I love... And they do it, but I think they still do it overall in a very nice way that it works out. So I won't be critical of it this
time. As critical. You were critical a little there, yeah.
A little, yeah, okay. All right. His dying breaths, he did mention the conservatory, and the banished have the conservatory. We don't really know what that is. He doesn't explain what it is.
He doesn't know what it is. He says he said he doesn't know what that is.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't even know what that is. Yeah.
Because he got to the dig site, which is where we're going to have to go. But he got there and that's when he got captured. Right.
Exactly. Exactly.
I don't know what a conservatory could be that's so threatening. I don't know.
I just think of music when I think of
right. It's like a giant symphony of weapons. You have Esherim. He's like he's at the front of the conservatory, and as he does it, like they're like in like I don't know some sort of opera.
Yeah.
And that's the end of Halo, and we're done. And we had a great time. See you later. No,
that's the only reason why the Banished wanted the Zeta Halo. They just wanted to have their conservatory perform. That's all.
Oh God, we are. Sometimes I think we have too many dad jokes going on.
But we do.
So that's the end of Hudson Griffin. We hardly knew he. Rest in peace. But that brings us on to Mission 5 excavation site, where we have to go find the conservatory. And guess what? It's a lot more like Mission 4, which is battle forever until you get carpal tunnel syndrome. This is, again, the same kind of thing where we get to the dig site. We have to find the entry to the conservatory, but it's blocked by a giant laser drill. And that's where we have to fight a lot of enemies around. There's a lot of snipers. There's a lot of brutes running at you full speed. I died significantly in this one, but it's almost the same premise where you have to destroy the shields around
navigate
the base.
Navigate the hallways, yeah.
Navigate it to unlock this giant laser drill, which is kind of repetitive here.
I will say as well, like, because we're in the tower, this is another area where you're, like, inside, kind of what you were saying to before. It's like, I think maybe why you were feeling fatigue is it's very similar environments to the last mission.
Yes.
Whereas I feel like if this was happening more outside in the open world, maybe you wouldn't be as fatigued.
I would say, like, both of these bases are almost the same. Make the tower some, like, giant-looking different thing, and then making this base something a little different. Like, that's all. Just a little tweaks and touches to make it seem a little different. It just seemed like it was base after base that's the same kind of platform. We also get a message from Escherim telling us he's so invigorated by Master Chief being around, and he's excited to kind of like fight him, I guess.
True villain.
Yes, he mentions that he will finish what Atriox started. I want to know, there's two things I'm really curious about, is Atriox and Weapon. Those are the two characters I'm interested in knowing who they are and their backstory is. Atriox, in terms of how did he die? He died after basically killing Master Chief, but not really.
Yeah.
And we don't know too much about him. I want to know what the hell that he was planning, right? Seems interesting.
Yeah, it's really weird because it seems like Atriox was a banished that believed, like, not just killing all of the, like, humans, but using them, right? Whereas, like, Escherim's like, just kill them all. Kill them all. But yeah, how he died, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe there's some method to his madness. I'm not really sure. Once we get a hold of the giant laser drill to deactivate it, we get interrupted immediately.
Spartan's not so tough, I think. Break open easy. Soft inside.
Chief?
I see him.
Spartan!
That's a surprise boss fight Bassus, who rips us off the drill button to stop it, and we get immediately into a boss fight. It's pretty crazy. This is what I really like, Cam, in terms of this boss fight. It's a little different from the last one.
Yeah.
He has different skills. He is very powerful, very strong, but has very weak defense. So he has a giant hammer that he swings at you, and he will kill you in one. By the way, he did that to me maybe 5 times.
It's over.
Before I ended up using, this is where I used the grapple. This is where I've figured out he charges at you really fast. You got to get out of there really fast. So again, he was really weak because he's strong, but that's why you need to use those kind of like different aspects in order to beat this guy.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised that, you know, there's a boss battle here again, because it just seems so close to mission 4. And that's usually one of the things that kind of gets me scared, because is all the boss fights going to be the same? But you're right. Like this, like he is completely different. Just how he fights. He has his hammer there. And it's like that one, like you have no opportunity for a mistake.
You have to be really methodical in how you do this fight. This is why like I had the most trouble with this one, because you have to time everything perfectly. Whether he charges at you really fast with this hammer, you can get 2 hits in, I guess, in terms of the hammer. Sometimes he clean off kills you in one, but sometimes you get 2. Use your area and surroundings around you. I got lucky though, because on my 4th time fighting him, I was frustrated. So I just went around the base a little bit more and I found a Spartan core, which I managed to upgrade my shield to number 3 level, which helped a lot. And there was ammo for my gun, which I had like none left, which was really helpful. So that's what made my fight a lot easier that 5th time around. And then I finally beat him.
Oh, you with the upgrades. I have a really hard time finding these things. I'm just not good at finding things.
I listen to the beeps.
The pings, yeah. Yeah.
The pings. And even like one ping, I'm just like, huh? Huh?
What Where? Is that? What is that?
Where is it? So I look like, but this one, out of chance, it's the only one that you get in this mission. And I didn't find, I wasn't looking for it before, but I just happily stumbled upon it. So it was like pure chance that it happened. So luckily that I died a few times because I was able to find it. So, but that's pretty much it for this one. You end up unlocking the drill laser after you beat Bassus. You can take his hammer if you want, which I did. I'm really excited to use it, but not yet, because we're going to jump into the conservatory, which is next week for mission 6. Anything else you want to mention before we move on in terms of this boss fight or just this mission in general?
No, because I feel like I'm just waiting to hear your rant about what you didn't like about this mission, but that will have to wait for the next segment.
But that's it for mission 4 and 5. After the break, we talk more about this gameplay and a lot of mechanics. So, Cam, did we learn anything from these missions? I don't think we, story-wise, not much. There was no meat to these ones, just kind of world building more than anything, mm-hmm. which I really enjoyed regardless.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it. Definitely world building, because it's not, I feel like when we, you're saying like meat, yes, to the story, but there was so much there that I did enjoy where I didn't feel like I lost anything, if that makes sense. Like sometimes when, because I'm so fascinated with games and their stories, and like that's usually what I gravitate to follow, which is why I don't do a lot of side missions.
Right.
I still enjoy the grunts and their dialogue, like all the enemies' dialogue, and like just operating like different weapons and different vehicles, you know. So I feel like this was definitely world building and showing you what Halo is really all about, which is like really good gunplay, strategic gunplay, which I really enjoy.
Yeah, it makes you think more. And I always compare it to all those Call of Duty campaigns. But with those ones, it feels more of a sense of like you can just shoot everything and shoot your way out of things. But with Halo, you really have to think about what you're doing or else you will get caught out. And I like that aspect because it makes you think a lot more.
And that's why your hands just get like cramped up because all that stress of trying to like be strategic and also shoot. Too much tension in the hands.
Yes. I need a hand massage like Cloud. I need one of those Cloud yeah, hand massages. Oh, throwback to a previous episode. But these missions to me felt very FPS-y in terms of, and not mean the story, but like just like a lot of fighting.
Yeah.
Which I enjoyed, but it is what it is was what I'm going for here. Okay, the conservatory. That's the next part of the missions that we have to look forward to. Do you have any theories? In terms of what the hell that is.
I'm definitely going with theory that Eshram just conducting an orchestra of grunts and brutes that are just trying to fire their weapons in a synchronized, harmonious manner.
And this is why you listen to us, guys, because we have all the insights and all the analysis. Okay, side quests. Overall, your thoughts on all the side quests so far? Do they feel monotonous? Do they feel regular game type, you know, not always different, feel the same type thing? Because I did feel that a little bit, but I did enjoy it at the same time.
Yeah, it is this weird feeling because I thought I would get bored because they do seem like it's kind of like the same thing, Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I didn't get bored at all. But I don't know if we're going to get this again. Like maybe if I see this again, it will get boring.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah. Like maybe I the dose of it's just right, but it'll be interesting as the game progresses if we are back in this area or a new open world area where we're experiencing that again.
There's definitely a lot though, because each fob that you kind of unlock, you unlock more. There's like certain times where I thought, okay, here's my last one. I'm done with this area. And then like six more pop up and I'm just like, oh my God. And then it just becomes like a little bit overwhelming. But I want to do them all. The only ones that I left about were the ones that I couldn't find. So I just gave up on them. But overall, like we're on mission six, heading to mission six now. I think I did like 10 plus. I did a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot.
And that's where, again, where the carpal tunnel syndrome comes from. Okay, driving. Here it is. This is my pet peeve of this game. It is the worst mechanic. And this game... So far, I've been pleasantly surprised with everything. It runs smooth. The gunplay is smooth. The map is amazing. The world is great. The graphics are great. Like, there are so many positives about this game for me. And then the driving came, and I hated it so much. It is so bad, Cam. Like, it's the
so drastic.
The feel. Yeah. The looseness of it, it literally feels like you're in a hot air balloon.
Looseness. Ah, interesting, the looseness, because I find the driving to be a little bit more stiff because it is like the left stick is your... So it's different types of controls, right? Like, so the left stick is your... It would be your acceleration, and then your right stick is your direction, right? Which is, it's very... different than, because usually, yeah, it's just different how that works, because then you always have to accelerate forward with your left thumb and then moving with your right. So it does feel a bit awkward with that, which when I because I was playing a little multiplayer beforehand, I was okay with that. I guess I was used to that, so it wasn't drastic. But I will say, like, when I got back into Halo and, like, tested out the multiplayer with the vehicles, it was, like, an adjustment I had to make, because usually games don't have that, right? That type of control there. But I thought because of that control, it does feel more stiff and less smooth and loose.
So what I always had trouble with was RT, I always thought would be acceleration.
Yes.
And then left stick would be steer. That's normally how it goes. But instead, it's, like you said, left stick acceleration, right stick is steer. Really confusing. And then RT is the horn. So there's a lot of gameplay, and producer Dylan will probably see all of this, but, like, and whoever watches on Patreon, but a lot of horn honking, because I always forget the mechanics of it or the controls of it. So that's something I have to get used to, but it's very loose in terms of, you feel like you're flying everywhere. Any rock you hit.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah. So yeah. Anything you hit, it's like you're a crash test dummy. That's what it feels like. The car is so weak. And it flies everywhere. It flips over all the time. Oh, my God. Like, any little rock, yeah, it sends you flying. It's like, come on. Like, put a little bit more gravity to this.
Yeah. Even though you're on a Mongoose and you can, like, you think of that, like, as an off-road vehicle, you can't take that off-road. Like, you have to try to stick to the paths, because it does flip. And then when it flips, you are out of the car. And then you have to flip it back. And then if there happens to be, like, any grunts nearby, then they're shooting at you, like, so it can get a little hectic. But, you know, you could just do what Nick does and, like, just honk the horn, let all the grunts and all the enemies know you're nearby, so you attract them and you just set a trap.
Yeah, I even, like, there's more cars than the Mongoose. There's heavier cars, but those heavier cars still are very lightweight. There is one car in this game that I found so far that is heavy, and that is an enemy car. It's like a grinding wheel almost that you hop on.
Yeah.
And that's the only one that I liked, because everything else was so loose. How many times I got stuck on a rock?
Yeah.
In between, and I can't flip the car. I can't do anything. And to make matters worse, you have all those UNSC dudes who follow you in the car, and they're dumb. They're so dumb. They fall out of the car all the time. Then it takes them forever to come back in. You know how many times I honked the horn to be like, come on, guys, let's get in. Get in. Come on. Like, what's taking so long? And then just
it's kind of like you just want them to have, like, their own vehicle. You just find me later. All right. Find me later.
Yeah, I was like a mom who'd be like, in 5 minutes, if you're not ready, I'm leaving without you.
I'm leaving without you. I'm leaving you there. I'm leaving you for the banished. All right? But, you know, you had your boss fight, so I guess there had to be one thing that you had to hate.
No, I know. They check off a lot of boxes in terms of good things, but this one, they just got so wrong. That's all. Anything else? I know we mentioned I loved the bosses and how they all have different kind of, one's defense, one's strong, one's fast, agile, all that stuff. I do like that about that. But is there anything else you want to mention before we head out for this one?
I'm just curious to, like, what kind of music Ishram and the Banish conduct and create together with their, you know, blast plasma rifle guns symphony conservatory. Yeah. So I guess we'll have to find out as we head to the conservatory.
My guess, Tchaikovsky. That's my guess. Yeah.
Classic. Yeah.
A lot of... I don't know why I'm laughing so hard. But anyway, check out some Tchaikovsky and think about Ishram doing some orchestras with weapons. It'd be pretty funny. Next week, we get on to the conservatory and find out what the hell is going on with the Banished on autosave. Shoot me da ba ba boop ba bam!